The stratosphere and the mesosphere as seen from Rayleigh LIDAR observations.
And so this has been prepared with some of my co-authors at LATMOS, and mainly by Philippe Kekut, that some of you knows very well. So, okay, just to just a brief plan of my
top,
okay. Plan of my presentation. I will speak about Rayleigh LIDAR observation, mainly in NDAC. Also, some comparison between LIDAR and satellite temperature trends. And we'll discuss two kinds of effects on the determination of trends. One is the effect of atmospheric tides, and also the effect of sudden stratospheric warmings during winter. So just I will go quickly to this because most of you know the technique of the Rayleigh LIDAR. So we send a laser light into the atmosphere and we record the signal scattered by the different layers. And where there are some particles, we have some mis-scattering and an enhancement of the signal. And otherwise, we have the Rayleigh scattering due to molecular scattering. That is give you information on density and temperature. And mainly above mainly 30 kilometers or 35, depending on the situation, you are above the stratospheric aerosol layers. And so you can derive directly the relative density profile from the measurement. The difficulty is to have an absolute value on density because you don't know exactly the transmission of the atmosphere and also the power sent by your laser. But doing downward integration of the profile using hydrostatic law, you can derive the pressure profiles, relative pressure profiles, and then an absolute temperature, except for the a priori initialization, because it depends on the ratio between the density and the integration of density, that is the pressure on the density itself. So we get this an absolute measurement of temperature, not depending on the calibration of the LIDAR. And this nice example at OHP, where we have such a LIDAR. So slide five. So when you look at the evolution of temperature during winter, for instance, from one winter at OHP, you see a lot of perturbations due to the propagation of planetary waves in the atmosphere. And then you have to take this into account when you are deriving a trend, of course. This slide six, this represents the variance of the night-to-night Rayleigh LIDAR data. The lower part is coming from Rayleigh LIDAR. And the upper part is coming from sodium LIDAR from Joe O'Shea and in near this place in Colorado. And they are both at 44 north. And you can see that for the during summer, you have very low variance below 70 kilometers due to there is no planetary wave propagation. So this part is dominated by planetary waves and a strong variability in winter due to the planetary waves. But in the upper part, you have always a variability because you are more influenced by the gravity waves and the change in the temperature profile due to this gravity wave breaking. And of course, in the tropics, you have much less planetary waves activity. So the trend analysis that I present here, I made using a temperature LIDAR series from NDAC. And you can see on this slide seven, on this maps NDAC sites. And mainly, we are using OHP here in France, Hohenspassenberg in Germany, Table Mountain in California, Mauna Loa in Hawaii, and the Réunion Islands. And all these data are publicly available on NDAC site. So just to give you an idea of the coverage, this represents the series, slide 8 represents the series of number of night of measurement for each LiDAR. So for instance, for OHP since 1988, we have an average of 10, about 10 nights per month, one every 3 nights, and maybe less in some other station. And but it gives you a good coverage of the time evolution, and especially of the during winter when we have the planar wave propagation. And then we have made some comparison with satellite observation, mainly the NOAA satellites, SSU and MSU instruments. But these instruments can derive the temperature in the stratosphere, but with a very wide weighting function of the order of 10 to 15 kilometers. So when we compare with LiDAR, we have to take into account these weighting functions. And then this is a work published by Kekut et al. Recently, where you can see the slide 10, the evolution of temperature, I think it's in the upper stratosphere, around 40 kilometers, between SSU satellite data and the LiDAR on all of this LiDAR station. And you see that the general evolution is the same, but you have some quite important differences for some periods. For instance, here OHP is colder than SSU. Here you have also some changes with Hohenpaxenberg here and here. So there is, and also it's more evident on SSU data, but also on LiDAR data. You can see that we have some decrease until about 97, 98, and then some constant temperature and maybe a slight increase of the temperature. So now the new satellites have MSU sensors. So we have made some study on the how well do LiDAR and MSU agree. So we have made some comparison for the period 2001 to 2007. So comparing the MSU average around OHP with the OHP LiDAR data. On the average, we have quite good evolution. But when you compare, here we compare the LiDAR temperature at a given altitude with the integrated channel of MSU. And you see that we have a correlation that is less, a good correlation, but a slope that is less than one because MSU is integrated over 10 kilometers. So this smooths a little bit the variations. But we can find some correspondence between LiDAR temperature at some given levels on the channel. Channel, for instance, channel 12 is about 32 kilometers, channel 13, 36, and channel 14, 40 kilometers. So this is a good complement between LiDAR and satellite observation. But when we look at this tendency, are the tendency for this period. Of course, this is not a very long period, so we are not to take too much importance on these trends observed by LiDAR. And when we compare MSU data above the same site, we have a quite good agreement. For instance, at 32 minus 2.5 and minus 2.8 for MSU. But when we are looking at zonal average, and also, yes, in this example, we select only MSU data where there are LiDAR observations, not every day. And when we average of all nights, we see that we can have an effect of sampling between the trends is slower when we take all the nights than when we take only the dates where there are LiDAR data. And when we are also zonal average, we already decrease the the trends because there might be some longitudinal effects. So also, in our data, we have seen that there are some indication of change in trends. So we have made several estimations of the trends, taking the trends two trends different before 97 and after 97, or a linear trend for the full period, or even a parabolic trends. So we see that when we consider the full period, we have smaller negative trends at OHP, for instance. Also, during this exercise, we have to take into account the response of the solar cycle, and especially this for the LIDAR at OHP. We see in summer we have a positive response to the 11-year cycle at all altitudes, but not very strong. And in winter, we see a negative response in the stratosphere and positive response in the mesosphere. And that cannot be explained only by radiative consideration, but has to take into account also the role of dynamics and planetary waves and stratospheric warmings. So also one topic that we discussed with Philippe Kekutz is the role of tides in this comparison, because as you know, the NOAA satellite have a drifting local time. So you can compare different satellites with different local times, and this can induce some effect. And this effect has been considered by Philippe, looking at when, if you look at the amplitude of tide, you can try to estimate this effect, and you can see that depending on the local time, at this again in the upper stratosphere, you can have some change from -2 to +2 Kelvin, and it is very important to take into account this local time of satellite measurement when doing, and also some with measurement made by other instruments, we have to take into account the effect of tides. And this is because this is why we were interested to participate to this COSIS campaigns and the coordinated tidal campaigns, slide 16. And we have participated with our LIDAR to the several of these campaigns, mainly at OHP. And for instance, this is a result, slide 17, of comparison between data and observation and the models. On the top left, you have the measurement of the tidal effect at OHP. On the left, right, GCM model LMDZ. On the top, on the bottom, you have a Saber observation, also the GSWM tidal models. You see that you have some similarities in the tide signature, but also some differences. How long do you have? Do I have?
5 minutes.
Okay. Another important effect that has to be considered is the effect of sudden stratospheric warming. This is two examples of what this slide 18, this represents the geopotential field at about 30 kilometers. You see, for instance, for the 84 events, what we call the planetary wave one solar sudden stratospheric warming, also it's named by other people displacement. And when you have a planetary wave splitting of the planetary wave two splitting of the vortex, it's called splitting events. But all these two events give occurrence to SSW, sudden stratospheric warmings. And when we compute the AOF of OHP temperature profile, we see very clearly the signature of this solar, of this SSW, with a interaction between temperature in the stratosphere and in the mesosphere. That is quite systematic in winter. And this gives, for instance, the blue profile is without SSW, and the red profile with SSW is peaking at 40 kilometers, and with warmer temperature in the stratosphere and colder in the mesosphere. In summer, there is not too much change in the stratosphere, but we can have some effect of temperature variation created by gravity waves breaking in the upper mesosphere. So we discuss why there are some differences in trends between winter and summer, slide 19. And you see that the red dotted line represents the trends estimate for summer, with cooling at all altitude but not very strong. And the blue one is for winter with some, of course, larger dispersion due to the variability of Atlantic waves, but also some positive trends in the stratosphere, negative in the mesosphere. And we attribute this to the occurrence of SSW. And then we have looked at the histogram of temperature anomaly. So we consider a global evolution of temperature using the seasonal annual and semi-annual variation. And the true temperature evolution is the blue curve. And you see that there is a stratospheric warming here, so we strong positive deviation. And when we look at the histogram of this anomaly, it is not fully Gaussian, but we can derive two Gaussian shapes with this is a non-disturbed condition, and this corresponds to the occurrence of SSW. So then we try to separate these two double Gaussian shape to separate between what we call temperature background, which mean radiative plus mean dynamic effects, to the temperature anomaly associated with this SSW. And when we are looking at trend in both, we separate our data in two categories. When we consider only the background temperature, we see a negative trends, more significant than just looking at all the data. And for SSW disturbed condition, we see a positive trends. That it means that we can have some cooling due to the radiative effect of increase of greenhouse gases plus an increasing occurrence of SSW above our LIDAR station. So for the summary, so after more year of operation of Rayleigh LIDAR in NDAC, we can contribute together with satellite experiment to the monitoring of the middle atmosphere temperature. We observe a global agreement between LIDARs and the satellites, but still some differences that might be due to sampling effect or also instrumental issues. MSU series are promising for temperature monitoring, but we still have to resolve the tidal issue effect that might be give a contamination of the results. So the differences in trend between winter and summer suggest the role of dynamics and of SSWs in these trends. And we are working on an hypothesis for the separation between mean cooling due mainly to radiative effects and an adenosine effect due to the changing occurrence of SSWs. I thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Alan. Very nice talk. Could you go back to the slide that shows the solar response versus altitude? It's about halfway back. And I'm just wondering whether you had separated that into, yeah, you had separated in the summer and winter.
Yes.
Okay, now, is that consistent with what Peter was showing from the rock, from your rocket analysis? Cooler in the stratosphere, warmer in the mesosphere, and then cooler again, or is that consistent? So there's a cooling, warming, cooling. as you go up to the very upper part,
the upper part.
In the lower thermosphere, it actually reverses cooling. Again.
Cooling. Yeah.
Cooling.
When we look at the temperature trends, we find the cooling in the mesosphere, but only up to 80 kilometers. Above, it seems to warm, but we're at the limit of the accuracy of the LIDAR.
Okay.
But probably, we see that at 80 kilometers, the trend might be very small at 80 kilometers.
Different question. Do you see any indication of hemispheric coupling in the summertime? I'm wondering whether planetary wave one amplitude in the southern hemisphere, do you see any correlation between that and your summertime mesopause variability?
We did not look yet. It's a good suggestion, but we did not look at the hemispheric correlation in this study. But it's a good suggestion to look at.
Somebody else has a question.
So, Peter, did you want to respond a little bit more to my question about the variation height of the solar response?
I would say in winter time, there is agreement between rocket measurements and this data. But in summertime, we have zero trend in temperature at 87 kilometers and slight negative trend at 80 kilometers. Mm-hmm. But you demonstrate positive trend.
This is not a trend, solar cycle.
It's not trend, the trend is... These are trends. Sorry. But so if we look at that, we are negative here and slightly positive above 80. But here we have a large error bar, so it's.
Okay, it means there is consistency between rocket measurements and OH measurements and your measurements as well.
In terms of the long-term trend?
Yes, in terms of long-term trend, yes.
What about the solar response?
We have no dependence of OH temperature on a solar cycle. It is about zero.
Yes.
Your range is about what? What is your upper? About 80 kilometers?
Yeah.
What are your limits?
Okay.